We're back with a post-Thanksgiving holiday version of Brick House. So much basketball, I got to unbutton my pants a little bit and just bask in it.
Basketball coma. All that tryptophan.
There were quite a few kerfuffles in the NBA over the holiday break.
Not enough people use the word kerfuffle, Bob.
I thought so. I thought I would bring it back. You know, the day of the year, Matt, where the police are in full force in the United States? Day of the year where there are more police officers working than any day. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Day. You know why that is?
Because kerfuffles, Bob. We just talked about it.
Domestic disputes, yeah, a.k.a. kerfuffles.
Yeah, I've never understood. I was looking at all the tweets and all the stuff about, oh, there's going to be bitter family rival. Like, my family, we've never argued at any of the family get-togethers, which, I mean, if your family does, whatever.
You guys
but,
just punch each other in the
yeah,
face.
Yeah, no argument. We just punch. No, but I've never understood all these people talk about how their families just get together and argue nonstop. Like, why to get together? Why do it?
Well, I don't know about the rest of your family, Matt, but I know you're not the heaviest drinker. That could be the inspiration for a lot of these family disputes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Too much booze, you know, not enough opportunities to air your grievances.
Mm-hmm.
That cranberry sauce really gets the blood flowing, too.
Yeah, but we have the internet and we have the comment section of articles. There's plenty. You can just throw your comments out there willy-nilly.
Those are anonymous, though. You're not sitting across the table from some person. In fact, if the comment sections were live person events, there would probably be only a few people left in the United States that haven't been arrested.
That's fair enough. That is true.
But what happened in the NBA? What's the deal with Jahlil Okafor got in a street fight the night before Thanksgiving in Boston?
A street kerfuffle.
He was outside of a nightclub. You know, I ended up reading probably 8 or 9 articles about this Jahlil Okafor fight.
Oh, man.
Only one of them even mentioned the fact that the kid is 19 and getting into and being most likely served alcohol at these nightclubs, these establishments.
Did not even think about that until you just said that, and I'm being serious. He's such a big guy.
Yeah.
It's like
a roller coaster. If you're this tall, you can drink all you want.
Yeah. If you're this tall, your name is Jahlil Okafor, and you are third pick in the draft. That is a great point. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you know, if by the time he's turned 20, he's made more in the lifetime of most, you know, middle-aged people. So, you know, between the height and the money and the looking 30.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about this was that the heckler, after reading multiple reports on this, the heckler wasn't just popping up at 3 a.m. and Okafor punches him, you know,
right.
it boiled over. Apparently the heckler was at the game of the Celtics versus the Sixers that night, within earshot, heckling Okafor the entire game.
Whoa.
Then was following him around that night, following him and his crew around that night, talking shit over and over. One guy on NBA Reddit pointed out the similarities to this guy and the guy from Happy Gilmore, who Shooter McGavin hires to fuck with Happy.
Right.
You will not make this putt, you jackass.
Yeah, you will not. Yeah.
And eventually, you know, Happy Gilmore turns all of his anger onto Bob Barker, and they just brawl it out. But Okafor went directly to the man. No Bob Barker around to get the punch.
And in this video, this guy, I mean, Okafor is noticeably bigger than everyone else around.
He's noticeably bigger than the other NBA players that he shares.
Yeah, but it just, and does he have a hat on or something? To the point where,
like a hoodie, I think.
Yeah, he had a hoodie, and I'm in the video, I don't even remember being able to clearly see his face, but it's just one of those where, like, yeah, I mean, it's clearly Jahlil Okafor because he's 7 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, just because he's so big, you know, and he's just taking people out.
Yeah, that police lineup might be a pretty obvious one, you know.
Yeah.
Bunch of guys all 5'8".
Like, Captain, we couldn't find anyone his size.
But, you know, the reason I bring this up is not just to poke fun at violence. You know, I wanted to highlight this incident to sort of ask you, Matt, is this evidence of some of the collateral damage that comes with the 76ers strategy of losing every game on purpose? I looked up Jahlil Okafor's college and high school records. I couldn't find, you know, every win and loss, but just reading about the wins and losses that he's had, I suspect that the 17, 18 games the Sixers have lost at this point are more games than Jahlil Okafor has ever lost in his life.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing I heard from someone saying that you combine all the high school and college losses and it's less losses than he has now.
I saw one person point out that Duke, Okafor's college team, has more recently won the college national championship than the 76ers franchise has won a basketball game.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Duke won it early April, April 4th, 5th, somewhere in there. Exactly. So that means that the Sixers finished April without a, wow, yeah. I mean, I would believe it, and just the way the 76ers are.
Yeah, the other day they lost by 2 points to the Rockets, and that loss, if you combine last year to this year, now makes them the team with the most losses in a row of any team in any major sport
right.
in North America.
And they were up 7 with 2 minutes to play on the Rockets, or 3 minutes to play. They were kind of up late. On
well, that was
they?
What is suspicious about them, because last year they were lost 25 games in a row. And right when they were about to tie or break the Cavs record for losses in a row, they miraculously won a game.
Yeah.
And then that game versus the Rockets, they were down for a lot of it, but it seemed like they really put forth some effort towards the end there to, you know, try to avoid being in the history books as one of the worst teams ever. And if it weren't for 50 points from James Harden, they almost did it.
Yeah, it's fairly weird because Noel Okafor, all these kids, it's not obvious, they're running out a bunch of young kids, but it's not like they're running out a bunch of young scrubs. These are young, talented kids who should, in theory, be able to put together an entire game good enough to win against someone at some point, right?
They should. They should. You know, as you say, they're young kids. I was listening to the starters, and they pointed out that, in fact, the 76ers only have one player on their roster who was born in the 80s. One.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
who's that?
Carl Landry.
And he's an old man as far as their
roster's
concerned.
He's a veteran. He's probably 32. Yeah. You know? Anyways, Okafor was not the only guy to get into a fight the night before Thanksgiving in the NBA. Jason Kidd also got into a fight with an NBA referee.
It's been a few years since Kidd, you know, Kidd, he's not afraid to mix it up. He never
it was
has
actually
been.
2 years to the day of the spilling the water on the court incident. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, the one where he accidentally spilled the water right. And nothing was suspicious about it whatsoever?
Well, it wasn't 2 years to the day, but 2 years ago on the day before Thanksgiving, that was the day he did that. He had the player on his team where the way they went back and saw the replays telling his player.
Yeah, Tyshawn Taylor.
Hit me.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey.
So he could, you know, pretend to accidentally spill water onto the floor and earn his team a free timeout.
It wasn't water, it was soda, so he got the sticky factor in there.
Oh,
he
nice.
Figured, yeah.
Nice.
He figured water could be easily sopped up, but, you know, with the soda, it's going to be a little, buy yourself an extra 10 seconds there.
What are NBA players doing drinking soda? You think they would know by now. But yeah, so
how did he get soda? They don't have. I mean, I guess you can, but that means he had to go out of his way to ask someone to get him soda because they don't keep that on the bench.
It is true that when they asked Jason Kidd if he got so what happened was he was in an argument with the referee that his Bucks were losing a game to the Sacramento Kings, and with a couple minutes to go, out of frustration, Jason Kidd knocked the ball out of the referee's hands, mm-hmm. earning him double technical and getting kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
And then after the game, the Bucks and Kings got into a kerfuffle in the hallways of the stadium. And Jason Kidd was asked about it. He said, you know, I was already eating popcorn and drinking Coke by then. You know, mm-hmm. I was back early that night, didn't see it. In fact, a lot of people claim they didn't see it. O.J. Mayo, who was linked to being involved in the fight, along with DeMarcus Cousins, said that he didn't know. He didn't really pay attention to who was involved in the fight when asked about who was there. Jared Bayless was also one of the players who was supposed to be involved.
Just so hard to tell, Bob, you know. So hard to tell.
I think Kidd was the only player who was actually suspended from the incident. But, you know, in honor of the holidays, I did come up with a few questions for our game show for Matt.
Oh, man, can't wait.
And now here's the host of the Brickhouse Game Show, Bob Johnson.
We'll see how many you can get right this time. I think I've got a handful here. So let's get right into it. Tell me which one of these players had this quote just from a couple days ago.
Okay.
If you don't get offended by somebody scoring on you, then I don't know what to tell you. That is like somebody breaking into your house and taking your video game out of your hand and you just let it happen. I know if you do that to me, it ain't going to happen. I love my Xbox.
Okay.
Who said this? A, Matt Barnes, B, James Harden, C, J.R. Smith, or D, JaVale McGee?
Oof, well, this is tough because...
I put all the knuckleheads in there.
This is tough because James Harden and J.R. Smith have never guarded anyone in their history of basketball. Matt Barnes, interesting. JaVale McGee, huh?
Matt Barnes is of an older generation. Not that... They don't play Xboxes too, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to go with J.R. Smith, Bob.
Ding, ding, ding. That is the correct answer,
sir. We did it.
You know, I saw an episode, I forget what it was called, but it was like Following Rookies, the year J.R. Smith was a rookie.
Wow. That was 10 years ago.
I was still in college. And anyways, it was just he moved into a mansion with his dad and father and probably 15 other people in his entourage. But I just remember this one scene where his dad just had to continually, knock on his door like you were, in high school and under your sheets trying to get out of going into school because you had a pimple or a test or, something you wanted to avoid. And J.R. Smith is just playing video games.
Uh-huh.
And his dad's knocking on the door like, J.R., come on, it's time to go to practice. He's, I don't want to go to practice.
sounds about right.
No, J.R., they're giving you $40,000 to go to practice today. But I got a game. He loves his Xbox.
Yeah.
The moral of the story.
Can you blame him?
Okay, this next one I found via NBA Reddit on nyloncalculus.com.
Okay.
So this, I'm going to give you five players, and I want you to name which guy is not in the top four for winningest jump ball percentage.
Whoa.
Of all time.
Okay.
This is minimum 100 jump balls.
In their career. Okay. And I have to pick the one who's not in the top five.
Yeah, I'm gonna name five. Four of them are in the top four. The other one is not.
Okay.
No, we're in the top five. Okay. So A, Patrick Ewing. B, Steven Adams. C, Shaquille O'Neal. D, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Or E, Arvydas Sabonis.
Oof. Oof.
Ewing, Adams, Shaq, Ilgauskas, Sabonis.
The outlier there is Steven Adams, but he's staying in. That's too
tricky.
Yeah, yeah.
You're wise, Matt. You're learning my tricks.
Yeah. Okay, so
eliminate him.
Well, now the interesting part of all the rest of the three. Okay, Ilgauskas had foot issues.
Mm-hmm.
Arvydas Sabonis, by the time he made it to the NBA, was older.
Right.
And Shaq, he's just long. So all three of those.
They're all massive dudes.
Yeah, they are.
And Ewing, too.
But they all have reasons why they wouldn't be there. why they could possibly not be good at jump balls, you know.
Is there anyone else that you could definitely eliminate that you think has definitely got to be in the top four?
I'm gonna say Shaq, Bob.
Shaq, he is in the top four.
Okay.
Second all time, actually.
Okay, what's the winner?
Patrick Ewing would have been the correct answer. He's 10th all time with a jump ball percentage of 66.2%. But the guy who won the most jump balls of all time, Arvydas Sabonis. Number two, Shaq. Number three, Ilgauskas. And the reason the whole thing came up was to point out that Steven Adams is number four all time in winning ball.
That's crazy.
Jump ball percentage.
How many jump balls has he taken?
He's won 80 of 113.
Wow, that's
for 70.9%.
No one beats that New Zealander off the ball there.
Yeah. Okay, two more questions.
Okay.
Two more questions. Okay, the other night, Rajon Rondo had 16 assists without a turnover.
Wow.
Friday night against the Timberwolves. Okay. They lost, but he was the first Sacramento King to do this since 1991.
Wow.
So the question is, who was the King in 91 that did it? And multiple choice for you.
Okay, the player in 1991 on the Sacramento Kings
who last had a game with 16 or more assists and zero turnovers.
Okay.
Choices: A. Spud Webb, B. Jim Less, C. Randy Brown, or D. Mitch Richmond, who all were on the 91 Sacramento Kings.
They were.
All four of those players on the Sacramento
Kings.
Okay,
well, my first thought was Mitch Richmond, but then I didn't think he was on the Kings then. But then you said him, so now I don't know what to think. I'm going to go with B, Bob.
Jim Less?
Jim Less.
That is the correct answer.
Yes.
I did not remember Jim Less, but apparently he's a 5'11" point guard from Bradley.
Okay.
It's one of my grandmother's favorite schools. Home of Hersey Hawkins.
Your grandma has a favorite school, Bob.
Well, she loves college basketball and pro basketball.
Oh, okay.
Or she did before she passed. But Bradley was always one of her favorite schools because of Hersey Hawkins. And Jim Less played there.
And he coached there, too.
Oh, did he coach
I'm
there?
I'm looking there.
I saw that he's the coach at UC Davis now.
Yeah, he took Bradley to the Sweet 16 in 2006. So.
Oh, cool. I should have known that.
Grandma. Patrick O'Brien was on that team.
Oh, okay.
They had, and then someone was on that team, played real well in the tournament, got picked pretty high, and then didn't
flame down.
Yeah, then didn't do anything. So
yeah, Jim Less, he didn't have the most stellar career, but that night, 1991, he had 17 assists and zero turnovers. It looked like the best season statistically for him. In his career that year, he averaged 5.4 assists and 7.2 points.
Wow. Patrick Bradley got picked 9th overall that year by the Warriors and played four seasons.
Patrick Bradley?
Patrick O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Patrick O'Brien.
It's like, I chose the school because my grandfather founded it.
Yeah.
Okay, last question here. It's related to the previous one. The last NBA player to do this, not just Sacramento King. Jim Less was the last Sacramento King, but the last NBA player to have 16 or more assists and zero turnovers was in 2014. So which player was it? I'll give you some options again here. A, Chris Paul.
Uh-huh.
B, Steph Curry. C, Rajon Rondo. Or D, Jeremy Lin.
I'm going with Lin, Bob.
The correct answer was Rondo. He is back. He's ready to get a max contract or at least a bigger one than he was about to get.
Yeah,
coming out of Dallas.
You threw me that curveball, Bob, and I just took a big old hack and whiffed.
You did get 2 out of 4 questions right today,
man.
which is
I am improving.
That would put you like 80th all time in jump ball percentage.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
No Steven Adams, Bob.
I wanted to highlight a couple of games of the week for you guys so you know what to watch this week.
Game of the week.
The TNT doubleheader. I couldn't quit it. I was looking for, you know, a league pass in between the lines game to check out, but the TNT doubleheader is pretty good this Thursday. OKC plays in Miami. And I'm hoping Pat Riley runs out onto the court with a KD to Miami t-shirt on.
Yeah, just hands it to him.
Like the kid, you know I'm talking about, the kid when Miami played Cleveland 2 years ago, a kid in Cleveland ran out onto the court with a, you know, LeBron comeback.
Yeah, right.
And not only was he thrown out of that game, but he was banned from the stadium. Like he was not welcome back in a Cleveland game until LeBron James came back to Cleveland.
Wow, look at that.
Not only was he allowed back, but got tickets to the game.
Oh my gosh, imagine that.
Pat Riley wants some tickets for next year. Make sure KD gets to the team. The second game in that matchup, or in that doubleheader, is San Antonio in Memphis. I just wanted to highlight this because, you know, over the past few seasons, these two teams have been met in the playoffs, and they've been a real matchup of powerhouses. But now I think the gulf between them is starting to grow, and we'll really get to see how far that gulf is when San Antonio is playing in Memphis,
mm-hmm.
in the Grindhouse, trying to get a win there.
Right.
Memphis struggled out of the gates, but especially with the bottom being that 50-point loss to Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
But they've been a lot better ever since. And the Rockets have made them look good, too.
It's starting to look like that 50-point loss can be forgiven, just given what Golden State has done. And Memphis, they're 9-8 in the sixth spot in the Western Conference right now, so they've rebounded a bit.
I do have a bonus game of the week for you, Matt.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Nets play New York Knicks.
Oh, man.
For the first time since the Lopez brothers are in the Big Apple together.
Who will be the king of New York? Rolo or Brolo?
You know, I just told you this morning when I woke up, I went to Deadspin, and like a manna from heaven, there was a new article that had just come out 6 minutes ago.
You were wandering the internet desert for days and days.
Looking for brick house gems to include. And I found that
your people were getting hungry and you needed to feed them, Bob.
I found that despite how the Lopez brothers, Robin and Brooke, who played in college together, who are really good friends, mm-hmm. and now both live in New York City, despite rents being high, they have decided, and they like to spend a lot of time together, they decided that it's impossible for the two of them to live together.
Well, that's not too crazy because, brothers can't live together sometimes, you know?
For 28-year-old men now.
Yeah. That's not bad. Why is that, Bob?
Well, it's nothing to do with a rivalry between them, but rather between their cats. That Brooke and Robin, while having high school cheerleaders' names, also have cats that apparently don't like each other. The cats' names, you're going to like this. Brooke Lopez's cat's name, I just assume it's the French pronunciation, Poupin? Poupin, that's P-O-U-P-I-N.
P-O-U-P-I-N.
Poupin.
Okay.
And Robin's cat, Prince Edward Zephyr. He's an orange cat.
Yeah, that sounds about right for a Robin Lopez orange cat.
The New York Post took up this article as their, you know, the leading source of important news in New York City. To quote Robin Lopez, Brooke's cat is very two-faced. Everybody loves Brooke's cat. To everybody's face, he's such a nice cat. It may sound like I'm joking, but I am dead serious.
Yeah.
He acts like a lazy, sweet cat when everybody's looking, but when their heads turn, he'll try to chase after my cat, Edward. Prince Edward Zephyr.
Yeah, Prince Edward. Yeah.
The second I lay eyes on him, he'll act like I'm a cherub. I'm innocent, but I'm not buying it. So this is why they can't live together. In fact, the feud is not, this is not a joke article, but the feud between the cats has evidence on Twitter and Instagram all the way back to 2013.
Man.
So these cats are serious, and they don't have the same brotherly love as the Lopez bros.
I'm looking at pictures of the cats, and you know those are fine looking cats there, Bob. They
two-faced, apparently.
Yeah. I wouldn't obviously
deceptively fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell them that to their faces because I'm not sure if they would stab me in the back. But you know, that's amazing. You can't You can't ask for things like that. Those are just things that are just gifted to you.
The only thing I regret is that we don't have our Twins theme song nailed down yet for such a juicy Twin nugget like that.
That's the gold standard
right
now.
Silly crime here.
Yeah.
But one of my new favorite segments that we just introduced for the first time last week is the Diss of the Week.
Yo mama is so fat!
Another J.R. Smith quote for you. He was asked what he thought about when the Cavs were playing the Hornets and Frank Kaminsky switched on to guarding J.R. Smith on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
J.R. Smith's response, he thought to himself, like Shaq says, barbecue chicken. That's it. That's the diss of the week. Is J.R. Smith called Frank Kaminsky barbecue chicken?
He was just gonna eat him up.
Yeah, I got a second one. The Thunder played the Detroit Pistons recently.
Mm-hmm.
First time since Reggie Jackson.
Right.
Left the
I was
Thunder.
Reading about this.
And KD and Westbrook were asked about Reggie after the game. KD went on to say that he's, quote, like a brother to him, but he wished he'd handled some things differently on his way out of OKC.
Of course.
But he still thinks of him like a brother. He then went on to say that Andre Drummond is the best player on Detroit, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the second best player on Detroit.
Didn't Westbrook say who? Something about him? Like, who's that? Or... I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson. I don't remember who that is.
Yeah.
Anyways, so if he is a brother, he's the one that gets picked on.
Yeah, they're just messing with... They probably need
to... It's the one they have to call the cops on at Thanksgiving because he's, just lashing out at his bully older brothers.
Right, they need to bring mom in to settle this brotherly dispute.
It is definitely time to panic!
Focus of this one this week is the Sacramento Kings. Got to point out that this time of year we got to say at least we're thankful that we're Rockets and Suns fans and not Sacramento Kings fans.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt. There was a quote via Steve Kyler on Twitter. He asked a couple of Sacramento guys, "Is it as bad on the inside as it is on the outside?" Their response was, it's way worse.
Whoa.
The only silver lining I really found in here is, as we said, the resurgence of Rajon Rondo. And I found a Sacramento Bee article whose headline was, Rajon Rondo continuing to grow in Sacramento. Tomatoes. Rajon Rondo is apparently he's into reading now.
Yeah.
He's into different religions.
Yeah.
And he's into growing plants. Specifically to tomatoes. It's, quote, it's kind of crazy. I never thought I'd be doing things like this at this age. I'd always thought I'd get into gardening or something like that when I was 50. Apparently, he's gotten into it already. There was in interviews with Brandon Bass, now at the Lakers, but he was a former Celtics teammate.
Right.
And he just thought, man, that's just so Rondo, If it's cool to, go out, or if it's cool to ride a hoverboard or... Whatever is the trend in the NBA, Rondo's going to buck that trend. He's going to read, and he's going to grow tomatoes, punks,
Maybe that has something to do with his reemergence into being good. It's very therapeutic. He wants to make sure that, we have to take time with the tomatoes, and so it's helping him take time on the basketball court again, all that stuff.
He's given the tomatoes attention. He's given his teammates attention, leading the league in assists per game at 10.8 this season. Also, aside from Draymond Green, racking up more triple-doubles in the league than anybody else.
Wow.
Is it time to panic, though? I mean, the Kings are getting in hallway brawls. George Karl's time there seems very tenuous, to say the least.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, didn't we all know that this was going to happen coming in?
I was thinking about it, and when we were doing the team previews, I was hoping that this is what would happen.
Yeah, we talked about how this is the roster that literally could fight on the court amongst themselves.
I did have my doubts, though. They have enough talent that I thought it was possible that we would be completely wrong.
Oh, yeah.
That they would win games.
No one's doubting the talent. It's just kind of when you hire George Karl and then you almost fire him in the summer... Does the owner even talk to the coach ever? I don't know the hiring process. It seems like they're just looking for excuses to fire George Karl. I remember 2 weeks ago, there was the report that said he could be fired by the weekend.
Right.
And that didn't happen. Right. At some point, if you're going to do something, you might as well just do it. If you're going to fire George Karl, you might as well just fire him now. There's no sense in keeping him around if you don't want to keep him around long term. You have Rondo and Cousins, and I just saw that Willie Cauley-Stein is one of only five rookies with a positive plus-minus rating this year so far.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he's clearly playing good enough to stay around it.
Or he's only played,
or like 1 minute. Yeah, he's only played 1 minute and they scored 2 points when he's in. I guess you panic, but also this is you had to see this coming. They're 6-12, which, I mean, honestly, is not bad for what we thought they were going to be. We had them, I forget what we had them in our preview. They're right now sixth worst team.
I think that's about where we had them. And it'll be just where they've been the past few years, too. And
actually, we had them as the sixth worst team, yeah.
Man, we're spot on.
We're so good, Bob.
But, yeah, it'll give them an opportunity to really blow the draft pick somewhere between 5 and 10 again this year.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get
always
into...
be time to panic in Sacramento.
Because they're going to Seattle any day now.
Yeah, I wanted to throw in a quick thing about a Dirk...
Oh.
Nowitzki documentary I watched.
Oh, yeah, please.
Called Nowitzki, The Perfect Shot.
Uh-huh.
And in this, it's all about Dirk's life leading up, like how he made it to the NBA, and then mm-hmm. up until like two seasons ago, basically. So it covers the championship seasons. But one of the people they talked to in this documentary, they talked to everyone. They talked to Kobe. They talked to all his teammates. One of them is Yao Ming. And Yao is sitting in a chair, and he's just doling out life advice throughout this documentary.
What?
Yeah. He,
Chinese proverbs?
Yeah, he was like a Yao Ming motivational speaker, like talking about how hard things are and how you have to overcome everything. And I just loved that Yao Ming, who was just too big for the chair he was sitting in, was handing out life advice. One of the things they go over the 06 finals and how Dallas was up 2-0 and lost lost four straight. Cuban was on the documentary talking about how he didn't leave the house for 3 weeks. Yeah. It was terrible for him. Then they cut to David Stern for the documentary giving an interview, and he does that thing where he like wipes his hands and then he just says, "That's basketball. That's the beauty of our game." Talking about 2006, no remorse whatsoever for Cuban losing that finals. But maybe the best part of the documentary, they had a video. They documented when Dirk arrived from Germany to the Mavs, they had a camera crew following him around to document this thing, the Mavericks did, mm-hmm. this arrival. And one of the places they took him was a suit shop. And who walks into the suit shop to meet Dirk for the very first time? Steve Nash.
Nice.
They documented we all know that Nash and Dirk are like basketball BFFs. They love each other. This camera crew documented the first time these two guys met each other. It was in the suit shop. They both had bleached blonde hair. Dirk was rocking the one earring like Michael Jordan. It looked like they were getting the gang together for a boy band. They found the first two members of this new boy band, and they were both super young looking. It was really great. I had to throw that in there real quick.
I gotta watch this documentary. It sounds good.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I got some predictions about old Vivek. Rick Bucher actually said that the belief is still not a matter of when or it's a matter of when, not if, Karl will be removed as the head coach.
Right.
And some of the things that sources say could be the replacement for Karl mm-hmm. would be Vivek wants Nancy Lieberman,
Whoa.
Who is currently an assistant with Sacramento, but would make a big splash by making her the first female head coach in NBA history.
She's really respected amongst basketball people. She was a part of the Phoenix Mercury for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Vlade Divac is more inclined to fill the position with Corliss Williamson, former Sacramento King from those glory years, mid-90s. Mm-hmm. But I guess Ron Adai's biggest dream is to have Coach John Calipari come and coach the Kentucky players.
Yeah, not happening.
Which made me, you know, think that maybe all of these selfies that Vivek has been taking with celebrities haven't been just like a vanity plea, but rather his interviewing for new personnel.
Ah, yeah.
Looking for make some splashy moves. Yeah. So I predict that, you know, Drake is not just like his favorite rapper, but going to be his new head scout.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx, not just his favorite guy to ever play Ray Charles in a movie, but also going to be the director of player personnel.
Brilliant.
These are just the first celebrities. These are celebrities that he's been, you know, photographed with recently. But if you listen to our team preview, Vivek does have the technology to have conference calls with all of the world leaders. So if he really wanted to make a splashy move, he could probably hire some Arab Sikh or someone.
Oh, yeah.
It would make a lot of headlines and zero basketball sense.
Oh, yeah. But so he'll win the media coverage that day. That's for sure.
So it makes sense that that's what we're going to see next in place of George Karl. But until then, we'll keep monitoring and keeping you informed on the next episode of Brick House. Thank you.